I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. This is Commissioner Shan Rose. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From Rose podcast. Really getting to spend some time deep diving, educating, bringing on special guests, and you know, helping everyone to understand how government functions, the role government plays. Today, I have the luxury and the honor of having Jennifer Hilaire on. And a little bit, Jennifer runs the Desire Foundation, and she is the newly representative for the Westlakes Main Street as the executive director. And so, Jennifer, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Commissioner. I'm happy to be here.
So tell me, tell the listeners a little bit about your journey and what inspired you to start the Desire Foundation.
So I'm sure you've heard this before, but I was born in Haiti, and I actually used to live with my grandmother. That's her name, Desire. And that's my middle name, which is her name. But growing up, she was a farmer, and she did exactly what I do now, which is feed people. She had her own cattle farm. She had her own, we call it a boulanger, which is like French for a bakery. But she did her own bread. She had harvest her own rice, corn, and all of the vegetables, and she resold it to the local small farms. Okay. And then we used to live next to, like, her house. There was a market, like a grocery store, but the grocery store actually served the neighborhood. So I think I just grew up around having that role model of someone that's actually taking care of everyone around them and really not doing it for the recognition, but understanding that everyone should have access to food. I just remember just growing up and never have to think about, you know, where my next meal is coming, and moving to the United States and seeing there's such a big culture shock on how access to food is viewed. And you think that coming to the United States and coming from a third world country, you'd expect that there's a lot more infrastructure around food security. But then you come into places like Paramore, and food security is such a big thing in that community, and it's somehow overlooked. It's like it's not happening. It's like people are not struggling to eat. And even right now, the cost of food is ridiculous. And what's crazy about it is, like, farming is something that is very advanced, and people think about a lot more in Haiti because you can grow food in your backyard. Whereas I feel like here you kind of need permission to do that. Like, you can't just grow food in your backyard to feed your family. You can't just have chickens. You need a permit to have a chicken.
Ooh, you took the word straight out my mouth. So when I first got elected in 24, you know, I'd heard about it. You know, you read sometimes.
Yeah.
I've gone to a space where, like, some headlines I pay attention to locally and some I don't. And so I remember there was, like, this back and forth conversation years ago about, like, limiting chickens.
Yes.
And I was like, wait, what? So that is no longer a thing in the city of Orlando. That was a couple, like, probably within the first 60 days after I got elected, I was like, why are we counting chicken?
I know.
So we no longer have a requirement to pull a permit, and there is no longer a chicken. Now, you know, the whole concept of, like, building the structure, but, like, we don't have a limit on how many chickens you can have in your backyard. But it's interesting you see that, right? And especially, maybe, and now, you know, you made me start, like, thinking maybe it is the, like, island and having the third world background that really makes you your service a little bit different.
Yeah.
So, like, my family's from St. Lucia, and so, like, that thought process of, like,
it's, you different.
Know, when you come from somewhere where, you know, and even down to, like, the culture and the knit, like, you know your neighbors and they look out for each other.
You can go over and ask for something and they'll help you out. And I feel like here you don't have that sense of, like, I can count on my neighbor. Like, you don't have a village. I think in Haiti, like, even if I didn't have something, I never felt alone. I never felt like I didn't have those things because down the street, my neighbor has it. But here, some of us, we live next to people we've never spoken to.
But I think some of it, from my lens, because I think I see a wider perspective. Mm-hmm. People don't want to be judged.
Right. That's true.
People don't, I don't want to come and knock your door and ask you for a cup of sugar.
Right.
And then I hear it on the street, girl, you're not going to believe. Or it's going to be on social media. Right. I can't believe my neighbor just came over here and asked me for a cup of sugar. Social media, my lens, social media was once created for a happy, friendly place. Right.
To reach your family.
Family, friends. Now it's just become such a dark place.
Yeah.
And even in people's, like, moment of, like, happiness, there's still something negative. Like, I mean, even down to me, I could share that I just gave out food. I've seen comments about, dang, you don't have any other shoes? What is my shoes?
Or why can't I go here? Why can't you give it to these people? Why, like, it's the craziest thing.
It is. And so, like, I wish, you know, it's a weird space. Sometimes I wish they go back to, one, I wish, I hope, Mark, I hope you hear my message out there. I hope Mark really takes Instagram and Facebook and does what Twitter does. And I don't know if you've ever been on Twitter. They fact check.
Yeah, they do.
So if you post things after a certain amount of time, it'll be a fact checker. And it'll be right under that post.
Right.
We fact checked this and here's the truth about this.
Right.
And I think if we get to that space,
it would
change, right? Because as fast as you see a headline, it's like, okay, we start dark spiraling. Or,
yeah, it's true.
It's just... You know, why can't we go back to the happy times of social media?
All you posted was your photos, your family and stuff. That was cool. But I also think, too, like, the judgment comes from a lot of people not seeing each other as human beings. We see each other based on whatever value we've placed on that person to us. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, I think they're in that ladder, or, like, I see them below me. Or so I feel like back to asking people for help, you don't want to be judged because you don't really see each other as human and equals. You see as a competition or someone that you feel like you have to always try to one up on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we saw each other as people and treated each other like, then my problem shouldn't be such a big thing that I can't share with you and you can share with me and we fix it together. I think we don't have that sense of community with each other because everyone's just want to be the person that's like, I did this, I'm better than you. But it doesn't matter because when we all die, we're going the same place.
Well, I hope we all go the same place. So I hope y'all are all saved in y'all retrospective religion.
I hope you are saved.
But no, it is. You know, and my saying, and I'll never forget, we were going through, this is when I was in the union, when I was a city employee. Mm. And a comment that, and I'll never forget, he was one of my colleagues that we were union stewards together. And he said, all put our pants on the same way.
Yep.
And it has stuck with me. I take it with me. I think about it. And so I try, like, I'm in this space. In the moment that somebody hurts me or says something, I just pray for you.
Mm.
I just pray. I hope,
you never know.
I hope the best for you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not in competition with nobody. Like, I'm doing what the Lord has placed me on this earth to do.
And that's it.
I'm not going to let you or anybody get in the way of that.
And I think, too, people don't realize that, like, your purpose is only yours to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't do what I'm supposed to be doing because it's not yours to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what I'm going to do with my life, I'm going to do it regardless of how you approve it or not. So, I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day.
So I'm going to stay right there. Was there a specific moment or experience that pushed you to take the leap and found in the Desire Foundation?
I think it was just more so realizing that I could do it. I think a lot of times you think of an idea and you think of, you know, it's just like building this grocery store. I thought about doing it and I was just like, why not? Like, what's stopping me from doing it? Like, if anyone, things aren't being done in this world by not taking risk and just deciding that, like, someone should do something about it. But I will say, like, one of the biggest factors of me, like, even being in Paramore is because when I was younger and I was in college, I used to sleep in my car in Paramore.
Okay.
And nobody ever bothered me. Like, it never felt, I never felt unsafe. Like, I always felt like, you know, these people, they see this girl sleeping in her car and brushing her teeth in the back of her, in her back seat, but no one is, like, judging me because they see other people doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I belong, and I never felt like, you know, I had to hide who I was at the time. And the crazy thing was, like, I would go out and do stuff and go to events and talk to people. But then I would drive to Paramore and park my car where people wouldn't see my car, mm-hmm. by the bushes. And I would just sleep in my car, wake up, go to Planet Fitness, take a shower and go to school. That was my routine for a long period of time. And eventually, when I started doing fusion and I was making more money, I always used to make food at home and bring it back to Paramore. And I just stayed. I think I realized that at the end of the day, someone has to make a decision to say yes. Mm-hmm. And when I came, it never felt like I didn't belong. Like, I'm not, like, I wasn't born in Paramore, mm-hmm. but I feel like I've been there like half of my life now. So I came and I decided to stay. And I mean, why not, right?
Like, you singing my tune. I mean, I feel the same way. Like, when I started working at the City of Orlando in 2013, and then when I moved into Paramore in 2018, you know, you hear these horror stories, yeah. right? Like, and I'm like, don't let the news fool you. Like, and It's a rock. It's a hard place. Like,
right.
does bad stuff happen? Bad stuff happens,
of course, everywhere
in the world,
everywhere.
Right? Like, it's not. So the news does its unfortunate job of reporting the news. And so what seems as like heightened is like, I mean, just human beings that live everywhere.
Exactly.
I'm fortunate now I'm in a space where I can work on policy.
Right.
I can work on making life easier, right? Because I remember when you came to me with the grocery store, you were like, I don't know, like, what does the policy say? And I'm like, I got you. I got your back. Like, I'll yeah. make it happen because I know that this is something that's needed.
Exactly.
And I walk you through the process and like, here's, here you go. Go to this person. Go. But it's that thing, like, I live in that space because right. what can we do to make things better, right?
right?
If there's a rule or policy that needs to be bent to better lives, how do we bend it? How
right.
do we change it? How do we look at, I get that the policy says this, but this isn't that, or how do we make
right.
it work?
And it's also too, like, policies work, but at the cost of what? At the cost mm-hmm. of people's lives and people not being able to eat. That's
mm-hmm.
crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting because since I've started this process, people ask me every day, literally every day, have you done a grocery store? How are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just doing it. Like, I just wake up every day and I do something that I need to do towards the grocery store
mm-hmm.
every single day. I think people think that, you know, creating something or accomplishing something, there's like a rule book out there.
Well, there are some rules now.
But like, starting off, it's mm-hmm. just you waking up and deciding, I'm going to do something about this that I see there's a problem to fix it. You see a problem and you're going to do something about it. And you make a conscious decision every single day to do a little bit. To do a little bit. It's kind of like, think about your process of now becoming commissioner. You started somewhere
mm-hmm.
and you did a little bit every single year to work your way to where you had the ability to run,
mm-hmm.
where people could trust you to say, okay, I'm going to vote for this person.
Mm-hmm.
But it took your track record. It took you waking up every day and decide, I'm going to do something every single day
mm-hmm.
so that I can show people that I really am serious about becoming commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing for me. I do something every single, I don't know if it's gonna work. I don't know if the city's gonna say you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's gonna happen, but I'm gonna do something every day and then make sure that it's the right way of doing it and make sure that it works and just move forward. I don't think there's a book out there on how to build a grocery store. I'm just deciding that I care about this community and I want to make sure that they have food, and this is the next step, you know?
Okay, so how can the community get involved and support the Desire Foundation?
I'll say, like, right now, it's just voicing how we can better serve you.
Okay.
I think I'm very big on building it with people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't build for a community that doesn't have their opinions and their thought process in the process of making it for them.
Because
mm-hmm. A lot of times we say we're building something for a specific community, but there was no input.
Okay.
So I think, like, right now, when it comes to just the store itself and the things that we're trying to do moving forward, we want to make sure that this is something that the community itself wants to see grow and how it benefits them. Because at the end of the day, I think that being a nonprofit in District 5 in Paramore, I get a lot of calls on, like, how you've been there for so long and you don't have any issues with the city. And I tell them, like, I'm here because of the community. The community supports what we do, so we don't get any complaints. We don't get, people don't bother us because we're not doing it by ourselves. So I feel like from people that lives in District 5, just really, like, talk to us, you know, tell us how we can better serve you. And then for partners and anyone that's interested in working with us, just believe in the mission now, believe in what we're trying to do now and invest in it. Mm-hmm. Because the feedback we've been getting has been great. And I think it's something that eventually we can duplicate and do it elsewhere, like Pine Hills and Eatonville and Bithlow, because it's something that can work. It's just a matter of people believing in that this is needed, it's required. So yeah, that's how I think it would work. But yeah.
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, you are the new executive director for the Westlakes District Main Street. And I want to congratulate you on this new role.
Thank you.
What does being the executive director of the Westlakes District mean to you personally?
Me personally, I think it really brings everything full circle for me, because I feel like I've been there. I've been in the community for so long, and I always say I work for the people of District 5 in a way that gives them access to food. But now I get to work for the business owners of District 5 in a way that gives them access to growth for their companies and ensure that not only do they benefit from that, but then the residents of District 5 also benefits from their growth as well. So I feel like That's what it means to me. The overall goal is to ensure that the community isn't seen as something that shouldn't be invested in. I think the more we invest into the businesses and the people of the community of District 5 and of Paramore and Westlakes, the more that other people don't see it as a waste to invest into the community itself. So
sounds like we're trying to bridge the two neighborhoods that seem to be divided by OBT. And
I know.
I guess it feels really good to have someone in an organization that could help me bridge the divide, right? Like, and it's crazy because I think for a while it used to be John Young was a separator, right? Mm. So y'all live over there on the other side of John
right.
Young. Y'all live on the other side of
I-4. Right.
And so I think having someone that could help me sink and keep flowing
right.
westward, it means a lot to me, right? Where I can flow, like, I got downtown, right? I'll take care of downtown, mm-hmm. you know? And so you're helping with Paramore in the food insecurity aspect, and now the helping business. In Westlakes in the business aspect, it's like, okay, cool, right? Like, I can make it all flow, right? So the people who come for events, so, like, I always tell people I live in three spaces, residents, businesses, and visitors, right? Mm. So the visitors come, and they will come from downtown, and they will walk all the way to
Downstirt Church.
All the way to church down to Camping World, right?
But they're going through Paramore, and they're going straight down.
So I want the residents to feel that sink. Yep. I want that Ebenezer flow where, like, folks can really say, I'm not scared to leave downtown as a resident and go grab something to eat or drink in Paramore and then go hang out to a game, right? Like, how do we make the residents feel that flow and not just the visitors? So
I think that comes with, like, us as Orlando residents and District 5 residents to portray that and put that out there, that it is something that they can come live, work, and play. I think if it's not out there and people don't know that they can do that, like, and that's why I love, like, the fact that there's coffee shops now in the district. There's, you know, different things you can do so that it doesn't feel like you have to go outside of the district to do things. Like, I have all my meetings in the district. I don't need to go anywhere else. I'm not going to Winna Park. Like, we can come here. There's, like, so many different things happening now. So I just think that we as leaders need to put some more emphasis on, like, there is much more to do, and there is a connection, but we have to keep building it. So, yeah.
Okay, so Westlakes Main Street is technically a nonprofit.
Yeah.
How important is a collaboration between nonprofits, local government, the businesses, and the residents to create lasting change?
I think that it's really important that everyone is on one accord, because everything should coexist together. Like, the way that I see government and nonprofit, it's like not every local government can manage the needs of all of their residents, which is where a nonprofit comes in place to offset what the local government can't do, which is then you need to have a good relationship with your local government if their plans are to do something that aligns with your missions, right? And then the businesses, you benefit from nonprofits making sure that the community is growing and not just, I guess, surviving in a way that they can't afford to spend money, because nonprofits are there to ensure that if there's a need in those areas, they're taking care of those needs to put people back in a different space, mm-hmm. where they can afford a home, where they can afford to go out and spend money, where they can afford to buy things and put money back into the economy, which then offsets local government and businesses. Everyone works together, because if there's 4,000 people that are homeless, 4,000 people are not contributing to our economy. They're not contributing to art. They're not contributing to nothing if they don't have a job, if they don't have a place to stay, if they're unable to care for themselves. But if there's a nonprofit that partners with the city and that nonprofit's helping with jobs, mm-hmm. or that nonprofit's helping with housing, mm-hmm. or that nonprofit's helping with food, and you can help somebody get back stable, then that person will then eventually have the ability to spend money.
Okay.
To spend money with paying taxes, which then goes back onto our roads. Just the whole process of how government works and everything that needs to do. I think that people need to work with government and all of the resources that the local government has to offer, because I think there's a lot of things that the city of Orlando has to offer that people just aren't aware of. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is, even as someone that is a nonprofit and I feel like I'm well versed on a lot of things, there are things that I'm learning now that I didn't know that was available. So I can't imagine the regular person that may not have access to the things that I have access to. They don't know these things. Mm-hmm. So I think there's like a big gap in education,
okay.
on how local government serves the people and the resources that are available for nonprofits and businesses. So, and I'm seeing it a lot with Main Street, is that some people have no idea what a Main Street is and what it does and how it helps them. And I really want to make sure that, like, as I take on all of the things that comes with this role, I'm not only educating people on what Main Street has to offer, but what your local government can do for you as a business owner, because those two work hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Just like a nonprofit, like, you know, I know some nonprofits, they just go and do their own thing. But if you have your local government support, you can go a lot further, too. Especially if there's people that believes in your mission and wants to see you win, mm-hmm. and wants to see you move forward. There's a lot of benefit in that for sure. It's just sometimes people don't see eye to eye, though, in those spaces. Like, because nonprofit, they can't be too political. So then it becomes a fight. And like, do I want to be involved in local government, or is there a thin line that I can cross or not? Because then they're like, oh, well, if you're too political or you're too involved with the city, then that means you can lose your 501c3. And some people out there will try to get you to
not
lose your 501c3.
Necessarily. I think what does have to happen in any role, from my lens, especially in the Main Streets, the goal is to really connect with businesses, figure out where the gap is, and right. work with government to fix that gap.
Exactly.
Right? Whatever that looks like, right? Whether it's you've got businesses in the district that need more exposure, mm-hmm. they need to know how to do contracting, whatever that may look like.
Right.
So you must function with government in that mm-hmm. perspective. I think, and it was actually one of the interview questions that I had, statements I made, and I asked the question, can you put political
aside?
What I call is, from my lens, everyone has a higher being or a God to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
The decisions that an individual makes most times it's serving a purpose that they have probably paid for, prayed for, and prayed about.
Right.
And their God, whoever it is, led them down that path.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to understand that policy make decision, whether you want to understand that why something was done a certain way. So the statement that in the question that I made was more so on like, can you not attack a person?
Right.
You can feel how you feel and you're not, and it goes back to what we just talked about with social media, right? You can feel how you feel.
Yep, absolutely.
But can you not, you know, can you not say this elected did this and I hate it?
Right.
Or can you go back and call that elected and say, hey, I didn't like that. Can we talk about how that could have been handled differently?
Right.
And I think that's the key, right? Elected officials are more accessible than anyone ever wants to realize. Like, you can reach out to your U.S. senator. You may not get him or her.
Right.
But that office will answer that call.
Yeah, someone will answer.
When you call a state rep's office, the senator's office, your commissioner's office, someone will answer your call.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think if we really as a society get back into that space of really picking up, knowing our electeds, having conversations with our electeds. And some electeds don't take constructive criticism well. Some do, right? But in that space where you can express yourself and you can work on changing policy, work on fixing something that an elected did, that's really what the key is. That's really how you're supposed to function with government.
Right.
And I think that, like, that's the key missing, right? So if right now I post something and you don't like it, you don't say, oh, this is a nasty. No, you go in the inbox, you call the office.
Right.
Hey, commissioner posted da-da-da-da-da, either I don't understand it, I don't agree with it, maybe she could do this differently, that differently. That's how we get to a better space in society, right? So, like, I think it's critical that government always plays a role, but it's, I think society has to start playing a better role, right?
I agree.
How can I not just point a finger? How can we become solution-based? Not just, you didn't do this, but you didn't do this.
For sure.
You didn't do this, but can you do this in the future? Or can we work on this? Like, I think those things are really important.
I think it has a lot to do with people thinking that, well, I could probably do it better. And it's like, can you really?
So what does a thriving Westlakes, and we're just going to be a quick fireside wrap up. What does a thriving Westlakes community look like you in the next 3 to 5 years?
Ooh, 3 to 5 years. Westlake is thriving because the businesses are thriving. They're growing. We're not seen as just Camping World. We're seen as a community and as a space that people can come, spend money, have fun, bring their families. Art is something that isn't, that you don't see everywhere, that you don't have to look hard to find, but you see it everywhere and you feel included in it. You see people that look like you in the art that's being displayed, but also too, people are celebrated, businesses are celebrated, and people have a relationship with the city. The businesses have a relationship with the city. For me, that's what I would like to see. I think, I feel like Westlake is something that people don't think about. It's like, I'm just going to go to a game, or I'm just going to go see a concert and don't really come out there for nothing else.
I guess that gets to my next question. Where can listeners go to learn more about your work or get involved?
So I'm very big on social media. I feel like I use that for everything. But Westlakes has its own website, westlakemainstreet.org.
Okay.
The Desire Foundation, Inc.org is our website. And then I'm on Instagram as Jennifer Desire Hilaire.
Okay.
From everything. So Instagram, Facebook, everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like the community to know or any final message you'd like to share?
I'm opening a grocery store in District 5. I'm super excited about it. I would love to get more people involved in the process, whether it is as an investor or a supporter, or just someone that wants to see the project come to life.
Okay.
And right now I'm open to doing walkthroughs, doing presentations. So if anyone's interested in the grocery store or wants to learn more about it, I'd love to sit down and just really go through the process with them. That's currently where I'm at.
Okay. I want to thank you for taking the time to come here, but more importantly, for allowing the Lord to lead you to help other people, right?
Thank you.
And so, Church of Desire Foundation, it's the people.
Yep.
And now at Westlakes, it's the businesses and really truly connecting the businesses to the people.
Right.
And so, I want to thank you for that. And just, you know, I want people around the nation who are listening in the world, like, there are people actively engaged and involved, and get involved in your community.
Right.
And, you know, like Jennifer mentioned earlier, like, just do it, right? Like,
just do
don't
it.
Even worry about, like, how you're going to get there, because when it's brought to your heart, it's done for a reason,
yep.
right? The rest will fall in place. Like, I live in that space. I'm going to just write it down.
Right.
Like, you can write a plan? No, I'll get to the plan.
I'll get to the plan.
I got to get it out of my head and put it on paper, and then I can go from there. So, thank you for listening today. This is Commissioner Sharon Rose. You are listening to Straight From Rose podcast. I will see you soon.